Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. We've rounded 1 year in business. Good morning, Jim Bremer.
Good morning. It's been a great year.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
Me too.
We all have.
Learned things I didn't know I needed to know.
That's good for you.
Yes. And then how's your show on 6 to 7?
Oh, yeah, the news in the morning.
News in the morning.
Going great, yeah.
Okay.
Having a good time.
Signing up for another year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good.
I think the contract's up now, so we'll renegotiate.
And your agents are renegotiating?
Oh, yeah. My people are talking to their people.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're doing lunch.
Yep, so we're going for another year here, so we'll be here on Saturdays with you, trying to teach you stuff. And what's the weather doing out there?
It's raining.
Yeah.
It's going to rain a bunch more.
Okay.
There's a low pressure off Alaska and off the Pacific Northwest, and it's going to keep on bringing more storms into us, into the area for the next few days. In fact, it looks like all of next week at this point, there's a chance of rain every day. Possibility of some heavy rain at times that could be some could lead to some small stream flooding and so on. So be aware of that if you live near any low-lying areas where you have streams that could overrun their banks a little bit. And of course, with the snow level being fairly high, it's about 3,500 to 4,000, 4,500 feet roughly. That could be melting some snow as well. In fact, Shasta Dam, they've increased the releases out there. Larry Ball announced the other day that they were letting more water out to make room for all the rain we're supposed to get with this series of storms.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what about the wind?
Wind, yeah. There's going to be a lot of wind at times, too. So basically, nasty winter weather, good time to stay inside, listen to your radio, keep your radio handy, and warm your hands on you on your old tube radio.
Excellent. Warm your hands on it. Well, hey, you know, we have a caller waiting, and he's a really busy guy, and I'm going to go right to him. We're going to have a little short conversation with Lance Aldrin, who is from Chico, and he's down in San Francisco this morning. Lance, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Okay, I hear you now.
Okay.
Are you at the Ferry Building Farmers Market in San Francisco?
That is where we're at this moment, yes.
Oh, good. And what's your weather?
Our weather is high clouds, a little misty, but considering what the forecast was, we're actually enjoying a pretty nice day down here today.
Oh, good. Okay. That sounds nice. Well, hey, I know you don't have much time, you know, you were on our radio show, I think, back in March, or maybe it was February. It's starting to leave my brain. And you taught us so much about creepy, awful, farm-raised salmon, how polluted it is and why we don't want to eat it. And you have gone to extra efforts to have a side business of going to Alaska in the summer with your kids and having wonderful sockeye salmon. Sockeye salmon has the highest omega-3. It's the lowest pollution, the least polluted fish. And now you're going to sell some at Orchard Nutrition in Redding. So, I mean, that's huge. Is that a big deal to you?
Well, it is. It is. Catching the fish, I found, is the easy part.
Yeah.
Marketing the fish is a four-year degree in itself. And so, yeah, we're excited about the success we've had at some of the inland farmers markets and then trying to get our product out into some retail food chains.
Wow, that's so exciting for us. You know, it's just been the last, day? I think you got into Orchard Nutrition just yesterday, and we have Dan Martin of Lazy 69 Ranch to thank for that. And he, what happened there? What did you guys come up with?
Well, I met Dan here a couple months ago at a Weston Price meeting, actually there at your house, and
yeah.
We kind of found out we had a similar vision in terms of offering a quality meat product to North State consumers, and Dan thought that he might have some, methods of moving our product that I hadn't necessarily fully explored yet, and so I met with Dan this last week and got him some fish, and we're going to see where it goes from here.
I love it. You know, anybody who's tried your, or the people who have at least, you know, gotten back to me, who've tried your salmon, absolutely love it. And so it just tastes so clean, and it's so healthy. And so all that extra effort is so worth it. Hey, for our listeners, will you tell them just a little bit about why Gookie, farm-raised salmon, they should be skipping that?
Okay, can you repeat that? I had some seagulls barking in my ear here.
Yeah, farm-raised salmon. Why should people skip it?
You know, there's been a big push to get salmon in people's diets due to the need for the omega-3. The unfortunate part of salmon do is to come in and offer a product year-round. The downside is it's full of all kinds of ugly things. Steroids, hormones, actually pesticides. And so people think that, hey, I need to eat salmon, and it's available year-round now via the farmed fish. But if you look at what's actually in the stuff, you're doing yourself more harm than good.
Absolutely. And where do people find this farmed salmon? I mean, it's mostly what you'd get in, say, a restaurant, basically, right? Unless they really, really claim that it isn't?
Yeah. People need to, you know, ask questions when they're purchasing. Most farmed fish has color added, and that's actually added through the food that's fed to the fish. That has to be labeled at the market as color added. And then if you're buying at a restaurant or something, you need to, you know, ask the server what they know about the fish. And we're finding that oftentimes the servers, you know, are told one thing, oh, yeah, just tell people it's wild, when it is not necessarily. And so people really need to, you know, kind of question what they're getting, and don't be afraid to do just that, to ask questions.
So probably a clue would be, if it's really reasonably priced, it's probably the junk, right?
Yes, yeah. If it's reasonably priced, if it is something that appears to be available when you know that, for the most part, you know, fishing for wild-caught fish has ceased for the season, but yet they're saying, hey, we've got this, you know, fresh salmon, go ahead and order it up. You need to be a little suspicious of that.
Okay. And then let me ask another question, and we'll let you go here. You know, in Alaska, their sustainability concept is so advanced, and there were days you can't fish until a whole, you know, account of the fish is done, and then you're told the night before if you'll be going out the next day. Take the listener through that a little bit. That's a dynamic system.
Well, in the Alaska State Constitution, it mandates that all fisheries be maintained on a sustainable principle. And where I fish in Cook Inlet, and specifically the Kenai fishery, the fish that go up the river to spawn are counted each day via a sonar that's placed in the river by the Department of Fish and Game, and they have escapement goals. And if those goals are not being met, if enough salmon are not going up the river to meet those goals to perpetuate the race, then the first people that are cut out of the harvest chain are the guys like myself, the commercial fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had summers where 2008 we fished 5 days, 2009 we fished 7 days, because the fish were not coming back in the numbers that the biologists wanted to perpetuate the race.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. That's interesting. So let me ask the folks in the studio here. Anybody have a question? Mark, you have a question?
Yeah,
for Lance?
Yeah, Lance. Mark Beecham here. You had quite a good catch this year, I gather. And because you freeze your salmon, as soon as you catch it, will your salmon be available pretty much all year round?
We did have a good season. The preseason forecast was for 4 days, and we ended up with about 20, so we were thankful on that. But yes, we do flash freeze our catch the same day that we bring it to the processor, and we do anticipate having fish probably up through about April, and we'll go a couple of months without fish, and then we will be back up to Alaska the end of June, 1st of July, to do it all over again.
Now, that freezing process, that immediate freezing process, that's why it's so fresh-tasting and there's just not even sort of a fishy flavor anywhere?
That is correct. When the fish comes out of the water, it's the best that it's ever going to be at that very moment, and all you can do is maintain that point. You can't ever make it any better. And so we are a shore-based fishery, and literally within an hour or so of getting the fish out of our nets, they are at the processor, getting filleted, vacuum bagged, and flash frozen. They go down to minus 20 degrees almost instantly. And then we bring the catch back here and sell to the North State consumers.
Oh, excellent. Okay, we have one more question here.
Yeah, Lance, okay. you're at the Ferry Building today and every weekend, I guess, and that's a beautiful facility, and you're obviously very lucky to be there. Question is, has it met or exceeded your expectations in terms of your sales? And if not, why not?
That's a great question. No, the Ferry Plaza, it was nothing short of a blessing to be accepted down here. There's an 8-year wait to get into this market. However, people in the Bay Area are suspect of frozen anything. If you were selling frozen ice, they would have thought the water was bad before you make the ice. And we're having a heck of a time getting the product across to people down here. Our repeat customers come back every Saturday and buy for the week. It's getting the skeptics to try the product is what we're having a tough time with here. So it's been interesting. We anticipated, you know, some huge sales down here, but we have not seen that. And part of it is, you know, this market is right over the bay. I mean, I can, you know, jump right into the water from where I'm standing here talking to you. And people think because of that, the fish should be fresh. But, and there's no fishing here, so frozen is you know what we have to offer.
Now, if that fish were caught in Alaska and brought to the Ferry Building, how old would it be if it was fresh fish? How old would it be by the time it got there? I mean, it would be pretty old, right?
Well, yeah, we looked into that originally, trying to offer the fresh product to our customers here. And by the time I could get it off the boat and to the Sacramento airport, it was 3 days where it would simply have been kept cool. And then after, you know, somebody would pick it up in Sacramento, 3 days old now, how many days do you keep it in the cold case? It doesn't sell, and then you freeze it. And so, you know, that the whole fresh fish concept is kind of a misnomer. Fresh to a lot of people just means it hasn't been frozen yet, but that fish could very likely have been out of the water 3 to 7 days, and it's not getting any better, I can tell you that.
Right.
Lance, if you go to a fish market in, say, Marin County or Redding or Chico, and you see fresh Alaskan salmon, what are the chances that fish has already been frozen and then thawed by the time, it, or then thawed when it gets down here?
You know, there's a great chance, and the reason for that is the biggest fishery in Alaska is in Bristol Bay. They'll catch 30 million fish in 3 to 4 weeks, and they do not have the processing capacity to take that to a saleable product in a timely fashion, and so they head and gut the fish. They freeze it and then ship it either overseas or down to Seattle. It's thawed out. It's butchered into fillets or steaks. It's put on the fresh market for a couple of days. If it doesn't sell, then it's refrozen. And so we're finding that a lot of the fish that's frozen has been 2 and 3 times frozen, and every time you do that, the quality goes down.
Wow. So you're really, your biggest challenge is educating your customers about the realities of the marketplace.
That's it exactly, and as I mentioned, you know, when I first came on, I'm finding that catching the fish is the easy part. It's the education of the consumer that I was not prepared for when I started this little venture. But we're getting there.
If people want to learn more, what they go to Aldrin and Sons? What's your website?
Aldrin Salmon. And they can go to our site. We have information on wild versus farm, the whole sustainability aspect of the Alaska fishery. We have videos on there that show how we catch the fish and how we handle and treat the fish, and it goes from coming right out of our net to the fish arriving down in Chico and going into the walk-in freezer. And you know, I would encourage people to take a look at that and read through and, you know, educate themselves in terms of what it is that they're buying when they go to the market.
Excellent. Okay, so Aldrin, there are two L's in Aldrin, Salmon, okay, .com. And
AldrinSalmon.com,
okay.
Yes.
You live in Chico, you work in Corning, and come up and you deliver salmon to us on occasion. And finally, you know, it's not like you have to know someone now to get salmon. You can just go get it at Orchard Nutrition right here in Redding. So huge step for us in the North State. You know, it was getting a little bit hard there. We know great salmon, but, you know, it was hard for people to connect with you. And this is going to make it so easy. Yeah.
And obviously, if they're in Chico, two of my three teenage boys run the Chico Farmers Market for us.
Oh, good.
They're always there, and if people are in Chico and it's a non-market day, they're welcome to get a hold of us, and we'll make arrangements to meet up with them and get them some fish.
I love it. Okay, well, I'll let you get back to work there, and I really appreciate you calling in. That helps us a lot, and good luck down there, and watch out for the seagulls.
Yeah, we're watching, all right.
All right. All right, take care.
Okay,
bye. Hey, this is Positively Healthy, and you're listening to KCNR 1460. We're going to jump to a commercial here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Oh, well, gosh, what interesting information that Lance Aldrin. He's just always a wealth of extra effort and good information and encouragement. So, you know, Mark Beecham, you were mentioning during the break that you have a salmon recipe that you think people might be interested in our heading of trying to keep it easy for people, nothing too elaborate. What do you have in your head there?
Oh, it couldn't be easier. And I love Lance's fish. It's just, it's the best I've ever had, I think, with the exception of, you know, maybe it, one or two really fine dining restaurants I've been to. But what I do is I thaw the fish out, which doesn't take more than a morning, say, in the fridge. And then I coat it with a little olive oil, and I add some pepper and some garlic salt. And then I slice very thinly a couple of lemons, and I put the lemon slices on the salmon. And I put it in the oven on broil for about 12 to 13 minutes, and it's done, and it's beautiful. And you take it out, it continues to cook a little bit, and I've had incredible luck with it.
Well, that sounds pretty easy. I think we could probably try to pull that off. And do you have any other salmon recipes, or is that kind of your favorite?
Well, that's my favorite. You can also poach it in a little bit of water on the stovetop if you don't have access to a broiler. But broiling it somehow just, for my taste anyway, just brings out the flavor more.
Ah, okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. I want to move into the part of the show where we're going to talk a little bit about 2011 and what we're hoping for folks for 2011. This is our last live show in 2010. The next two on Christmas Day and New Year's Day will be reruns, and I'll be choosing some of my favorite shows.
Correction, best of.
Best of.
Reruns.
Reruns.
No, people don't want to watch reruns. They listen to reruns. They want to hear a best of.
I love that.
The best
Thank
of Trudy
you.
Pratt.
Thank you. You're right. So I will find the best of. And so that brings me to the fact that I really, really, really wanted to play you some Christmas carols and do this Christmas show, but I am just absolutely out of time. So I am going to go to what my favorite Christmas carol is, which is the Little Drummer Boy song. And when I was looking to figure out what song I wanted to play you, what artist I wanted to have sing the quick 3 minutes of Little Drummer Boy, I ended up stumbling upon Marlene Dietrich's Little Drummer Boy, and it's in German, and I thought it was so pretty. You know how about now you're kind of getting a little tired of the same carols, and here I get to share with you my favorite carol, but it's going to be different than you're used to. So we'll be back. Instead of a commercial break, we're going to this. So here we go, Jim.
Alle hin, geschwind, param-papapam. Zum neuen Königskind, param-papapam. Bringt ihm das beste All, param-papapam, ram-papapam, ram-papapam. Lauf auch du zum Stall, param-papapam.
when I was choosing that. I don't quite remember it being so mellow. I almost fell asleep there. How about you, Jim?
It was different.
I know.
I was like the song, The Little Drummer Boy. And
yeah.
Here in German's kind of a different treat.
Oh,
I don't know
you.
How you do it, Trudy.
I thank you for calling it a treat.
Well, you know, I didn't want to say what I really know.
Good. I was starting to have regrets there, like, wow, it seems kind of monotonous. Okay, so I want to recap our year a little bit and talk about what we were trying to do and where we're going from here. And, you know, we have our two unbelievable sponsors. We have Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch, Dan and Melinda up there in Round Mountain, and they have their pastured chickens that you can get their eggs in a lot of Reading markets, including Sunset and Holiday and Orchard Nutrition. And they're getting ready to do some experimental soy-free eggs. So for people who have soy allergies, which is a growing number of people, a lot of people think they're sensitive to eggs, but they're actually sensitive to the feed of the chickens. So they're going to do a little bit of shifting around there to help some of the folks with food sensitivities. And so we love having them as a sponsor, mostly because they are very into the whole food movement and into supporting local people. Like, they supported Lance Aldrin and his salmon venture. And wow, do I appreciate that commitment, because it just takes a little, you know, it takes a little, few more phone calls, a little bit of work to try to help people get what they need. And so the only way these local producers are going to be here and be successful is if we buy their goods. And so I also want to thank Michael Chatowski, who owns Reading Acupuncture. You hear his commercial, and he has East Earth Trade Winds. When you go into his business, the front of his business is it's like an herb store, and you can buy all sorts of, like, muscle rubs and toothpaste, and you can get a lot of help right there. They're almost a natural pharmacy. And then they have their acupuncture business, and two acupuncturists work there. One is Michael, who is a fabulous acupuncturist, and all of the things you would think of going to acupuncture for, any kind of pains or any body systems that seem to be a little bit on the blink, acupuncture has a way of regulating those and bringing the immune system up. Then the back part of his business is their herb store. They do a lot of shipping around the United States and around the world, actually. So that's East Earth Trade Winds, and you can go to EastEarthTrade.com and look at their website if you want. And so we've also added to the show two chefs, Rocky and Tiff Carbajal. They're two Reading chefs, and part of our effort is to get people cooking at home a little bit, and so they bring us recipes. And so they won't be on until January, but they do an excellent job kind of breaking down information, food. You know, they know food, so they know what things you can cut out of a recipe or techniques. Or, you know, sometimes when you read a recipe, if you're not a great cook and you don't have a lot of experience, just the explanation of what to do, you can read the ingredients and think, all right, I can probably pull that off. And then you read the explanation. Often it's written for someone who maybe either already knows how to cook, or the explanation is so difficult, you didn't get anywhere. You know, it was too hard. And so so having chefs around helps. You really take a recipe and just, like, that just means whip it up with a, you know, with a spoon. Oh, okay, all right, that's a technique we can handle. So the effort is to make food, preparing food, it needs to just be a little easier, and we need to take that responsibility back. So that led me to write my manifesto, which it's my hope for Reading, the manifesto of 2011. And I'm going to take you through some ideas that I have. And so some of the foundation of this show, the first year, year one, was really getting to know our community. We had a lot of guests. We met a lot of people. A lot of people we just didn't know. We didn't know they were out there. And maybe you didn't know them either. And so we've learned who we have in our community, and we will continue to do that. We will have a lot. We will have some repeat guests, and we will meet a lot of new people. And then from here, there are changes that I would like to see us, the second year into the show. I want us to get a little more specific into health issues for people, because people are very curious how they're going to stay healthy. And so we'll get a little more specific on what you can do at home in your life to become a healthier person. And I wrote this manifesto, which is just a list of things that I want to talk about. And the first thing on the list that just flew out into my computer was in 2011, we need to learn to live within our means. And so living within our means is going to be different for everybody. But, you know, at some point we need to assess what is important and what isn't important and learn to scale back, and not just in our own personal lives, but we need to probably expect that of our governments and of our kids, of everybody. And so if we live within our means, then maybe we can support Northern California farmers and ranchers and eat more whole foods that are locally grown. You know, I often buy cheese from New Zealand, and it absolutely can't pencil out that it makes sense to get that piece of cheese all the way to Reading, and that's organic cheese. It's moderately priced, but I'll tell you, I want to be buying local cheese. And so, you know, I'm on a mission there. And so we have to support the local ranchers and local producers, and you'll hear them come on this show. I want them to be on this show. And so you'll get to meet them, and you'll get to figure out where their products are, and then we can support them. I want you to eat local honey. Local honey is good for your immune system. And make sure it's raw, and we don't need it pasteurized. It needs to have all those live enzymes in it so that you get healthier by eating it. And it's full of vitamins. And, you know, anybody under 2 years of age, they don't need raw honey. You need to just skip that. And so buy grass-fed beef. We have several producers of grass-fed beef in this area. This is a beef ranching area. And so even though Dan Martin at Lazy 69 Ranch is one of our sponsors, there's more than Dan's beef around. And so I want you to look at the grass-fed beef. I want your beef, just make the switch. You know, the price isn't that much more for the health benefit. So we need you to be without the hormones, without the antibiotics, without the pesticides, and your food needs to not be a health risk. Every meal, we need to go back to the time when people looked at their meal and they thought, oh yes, this is going to make me healthier. Right now we eat for our taste buds. What do you crave? Oh, I crave Mexican. And that's about as interesting as we get. You know, oh, I crave Chinese. Oh, I crave a burger. And I want us to move past that and start looking at the value of our food. And what is it going to do for you? It's going to do one of two things. It's either going to make you stronger or it's going to make you weaker. And I want in 2011, I want you to choose more meals that make you stronger. And so we have some local free-range pastured chicken. We're going to need to find more of that. And so, you know, that's a hard thing for our producers of poultry to pull off, but there will be more because our demand for that is going up. You're wanting it and I'm wanting it. And so, you know, we need chicken to be clean and delicious and local. And also I want you to buy local cheese. You know, we've got a new cheese gal, Callie Gash. She's going to be on the show in January, and she lives out in Old Shafton. She's making a soft white cheese. It's called Fromage Blanc. It is a French cheese, kind of like cream cheese, but it's not. It's like a higher protein cheese, and so she's selling that right now. The only place you can get it is over at Leatherby's. You know, that's where Frenari Sausage has they sell Frenari sausage there, but in their that part of the business, they sell this cheese. And so right now it's called Green Acres Fromage Blanc White Cheese. It's very inexpensive. It's about $3.50 a carton, and you would use it as a spread on anything. It's lovely. Well, we're going to hit a radio break here. So this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today.
Healthy here on KCNR 1460, and if you're just tuning in or getting in or out of your car right now, you know, I'm going over my 2010 health manifesto, my hopes for Reading in 2011, and you know, I'm talking about cheesemakers, but I think that I think we could have a whole lot more than just one cheesemaker. And I know there are a lot of rules and regulations for cheese, and we will have more shows on the regulators. You know, the regulators are coming on. Vern Hastings was here in November talking about rules and regulations of starting a business in the food industry, and there are things you have to know. And so I would, when you talk about cheese, there are just, you know, take that amount and times it by five. You know, there are a whole lot more rules for cheese. This cheese is actually made in Orland. the fromage blanc I'm telling you about. And even if all of our cheese is made at a cheese plant in Orland, but they're Shasta County people making the cheese and selling it up here, I'm happy with that. You know, we're just trying to get more cheese going. So putting that little call out to you, the listener. And also, you know, I want us to be famous for our salami from grass-fed beef. You know, if you like salami, you go read the ingredients and you see all the nitrites and nitrates and you know they cause cancer and you think to yourself, why are they in there? And then you go on the internet and you find all the good-looking salami that doesn't have that stuff, and it's, you know, you have to order it from Vermont or something. Well, what did they have that we don't? There's no, we have plenty of cattle around here, plenty of healthy cattle. Let's be famous for our salami. So one more thing I'd like to see happen. Another thing we need is we need to teach our children, you know, 6 to 10 recipes by the time they graduate from high school as a prerequisite. So if you can make, you know, 3 breakfasts, 3 lunch, 3 dinner, or even 2, if you can make some food, real food, food that will keep you healthy, then that's a survival skill that kids are going to have to learn if they're going to be healthy. And there's a really good chance that their parents don't know those 10 recipes. So we have a little educating to do of the kids. So we're going to have to pull together there. You know, I want us to have a true community kitchen. And even if it exists in a restaurant during the hours that they're closed, you know, local people need to be able to go bake something and sell it. And, you know, they're... And talking to Orchard Nutrition, there are so many products that they need down there. They still need a lot of what they call grab-and-go items at the checkout. Somebody has to make ready-to-eat foods, you know, like granola bar type things. And all the gluten-free stuff is big right now. But anything sort of $5 and under, that's just an area that we need to fill around here. A lot of people are in line. They need to grab something to eat for lunch, and they're in and out of the store. Also, I think we need to get out and we need to look at this river trail a little bit more. You know, that river trail, it's a gift. I mean, it's huge. It's beautiful. Every part of the year, doesn't really matter. Get out there and have a look at it. Even if you're not even going to walk, you know, just get out there, park, and go stand out and enjoy nature for a minute. And so, you know, I think we need to get a little more in touch with the seasons. You know, we're in the season right now where the leaves are almost gone. It's dormant for a while, and it's fun to start seeing the first look of spring, you know, seeing the first little leaves come through. And if we can start looking a little more at nature, we get to see the cycles of life. We get to tune into those. And so just by getting out on the river trail and taking 5 steps, you are suddenly just a little more in touch with that process. And that's a fun process to remember to enjoy. You know, I think that we need to expect real food, food without chemicals and preservatives, to be the norm for everybody. Skipping the chemicals, skipping the added hormones, skipping the high fructose corn syrup and the NutraSweet. And so, you know, 75% of disorders, they're lifestyle created. So what you're doing today creates that problem that you could have in 5 years. And so what you're doing today, let's just start rethinking it and start making, you know, make the obvious easy changes, make those first so you feel excited about your changes. And if you need help with the harder stuff, get help. There's plenty of help out there. And, you know, I think we're going to need to be a little bit at peace with less stuff. You know, we've been brainwashed to think that, you know, the shirt Jim's wearing isn't really going to be great next year. And it's a great shirt right now, and it was probably a great shirt last year.
It has been for 10 years.
Oh, right on! Good for you!
I'm kidding.
Well, it looks fabulous. But, you know, we've been brainwashed to think that we need to have something new. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It probably could be a little better, huh? And the more if I were to just start talking to you, you would start to nod your head and say, yeah, you're right. You know, Jim does need a different shirt on. And so, yeah, so I think we need to be a little less vulnerable to that and start realizing that, you know, whatever, what's the purpose of his perfect shirt? His shirt is great. It should be good for another 10 years, and there's no reason why he needs, you know, 15 or 20 or 40 of them. So somewhere in there, I think we have to kind of come back to basics. But guess what? We're going to take a radio break. So This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and I'm talking to you about not buying more stuff 3 or 5 days before Christmas. Hey, we'll see how this goes over.
Yeah, so. The retailers are really going to love this show,
yeah.
Trudy.
Somebody just turned off KCNR. We'll be right back.
Hi.
Welcome back to Positively Healthy. As we close out the show here, I'm going to kind of tease my mom a little bit with a song that was of her generation that was a huge part of my childhood, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but I want to get back to my manifesto, 2011, my hope for Reading, and we're talking about disorders, lifestyle-created disorders that are preventable, and so, you know, another thing that causes disease is stress. And so stress is a funny thing. It shows up, it leaves, it comes, it goes. Sometimes, you know, a nice relaxing weekend, you think it's gone, and by Wednesday, you're all stressed out again. And so, you know, emotions, even according to the Center for Disease Control, a very conservative group, they suggest that 85% of disease is caused by our emotions. And so somewhere in there, we have to look at that a little bit and figure out, wow, okay. You know, I remember when Dr. Doug Craig was on our show, he said, gosh, you know, make a list. Start with the list and see, you know, write down the things that you have power over, the things you can control, and then write those down. And then write down a list, you know, on the other part of the page, create a list of things you have absolutely no control over and look at them and realize that, you know, the things you have control over, okay, you have control over them. So maybe that's what you can, you know, create an action, make a change there. The things you have no control over, then, you know, it's kind of work, but somewhere you have to figure out how to let some of that stuff go. And so it's pretty easy to worry about both columns, but if your column is mostly things you can't control that your stress is over, then that's gonna, you know, boom, it's gone. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a mental discipline to decide that you don't need to go put your little worry emotions there.
And that is such great advice. And in fact,
yeah,
sometimes my wife will get stressed out about something, and I'll say, can you do anything about it?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Then move on. You know, do something about the things you can do something about.
Yeah, I think that's profound.
No,
and
it's great advice. I mean, okay. I've tried to live that since I've heard that many years ago.
Yeah, that's great. And so, yeah, so, and I know that sometimes we like our emotions to go dance all around the things we can't control, but that's discipline. You know, disciplining yourself to not go there. I think, you know, we get a little bit of a chemical addiction to worrying because all these little chemicals get released in our body and we kind of like that. And so it takes a little bit of discipline to go, I don't really need to worry about that. That is silly. You know, that's ridiculous to go think that way. So look at the list of the things you can change and then dig through them a little bit. You know, what's kind of easy? What can you change in 2 minutes? What things would take longer? And you just start parting out your list. And so, you know, anyway, I think that's advice to live by. And I think also I'd like to see, you know, here in our last minute, I'd like to talk about ethics. You know, it seems like in the last 20 years, maybe even really 10, that, you know, corruption or ethics sort of seem to have run out of, you know, kind of run wild. And I think that expecting ethical decisions out of people, you know, teachers, bankers, whoever it is, yourself, maybe even starting with your kids. And so I'd like to see that be like a whole new thing that we take seriously in 2011. Now, here's a little song for my mom. And, you know, this is our last live show. I will see you in 2011. And this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. And this is for you, Mom.
In our Shasta Reading. Good morning. It's 11 o'clock.